Father, we want to thank you for this glorious day. And we want to thank you for your word that is truth. We want to thank you for your spirit, the spirit of truth. And we thank you, God, as we yield to you afresh today, that your word says it is written that your word goes out. It does not return void, but it accomplishes what is set forth. And God, we just yield to you that through your word and by your spirit, that you would have your way in our hearts and lives, God, that you would remove those obstacles that need to be removed, that you would bring revelation where we need revelation, oh God. Lord, give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, I started some thoughts about getting back to normal. If that static continues, I might just shift to microphones in a minute. But we'll see. We still have this problem with interference somewhere. Anyway, but we started this thought that I'm going to continue for a little while because I really feel by the Lord to do that, getting back to normal. Because we're not normal. Well, actually, yeah, we're not normal. Normal's overrated. But what I mean about getting back to normal is getting back to normal what we read in this. Because what seems to happen is that when someone starts to go to say, God, I want to walk out what you call me to walk out according to your word, they're no longer seen as normal. They're seen as radical. Wow, you're a bit radical in your faith. But that's not, that's actually not true. They're just getting back to normal. Does that make sense? We think we have this thing in our nation where we want to pull people down, but we should be encouraging each other to get back to normal according to the word of God. Is there an amen? Because when I open the word, and it's something, when you're in your prayer time, and you're in your own time in the Word, there's some things that just stir up and you just can't shake them. Even if you're not really thinking about them, there's just this burning in you. We've got to get back to normal. We don't want to settle for anything less than normal, biblical normal. We read in Scripture that the early believers were one. One heart, one mind, one spirit, one purpose. They lived with such immaturity. The Holy Spirit was moving 7 days a week. There were healings, there were miracles, there were salvations. It was normal. Living life together, helping one another, sharing food, possessions, walking together, authenticity, being real. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Love one another as the way that God loves us, unconditionally. The body ministry. Yes, the apostles and the prophets and others were ministering, but everyone in the body had a purpose. Everybody was functioning. That's just the same as in our natural bodies, so it too should be in the body of Christ. But we live in this consumer mentality, in this, the way that things are structured and things happen. We come and we get and then we go. But you have purpose. You have function in Christ. The prayer. Oh, the prayer. How did prayer, how did the importance of prayer slip from up here to down here somewhere in our nation? When we have an Australian National Day of Prayer and Fasting, we should have 1 million believers or more, 2 million believers right across this nation standing in the gap. We shouldn't just have 40 people stuck in a corner of a building somewhere and 50 in another corner. It shouldn't be like that. We should need Salters Oval in Bundaberg because there's 3,000 of us and we want to pray together and we want to stand together for the purposes of God. But that's what we read. When Peter and John, after the man at the temple gate was healed, they said, do not speak anymore in the name of this Jesus. Well, who are we going to obey, man or God? They went back to the to the early church. And they reported everything that took place and how they were told not to speak anymore in Jesus' name. And the early church just said, well, we're just going to declare according to the word of God and we're going to pray. And their prayer was not, Lord, take this persecution away from us. Lord, deal with these people. Deal with it. No, no. Their prayer was, Lord, grant us boldness. That's a gutsy prayer. How often do we pray when something's happening? Take it away, Lord. Deal with that. Do this, do this, do that. But how little do we pray, Lord, give me boldness. Give me boldness in the face of it. Give me boldness, God. That's not an arrogant prayer. That's a aligning with God prayer. In Acts 17:6, it says, those men who turned the world upside down have come here also. Hands up who would love to see Bundaberg turned upside down. There might be someone here today thinking, what does that even mean, Tim? Because the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God are opposites. It gets turned upside down because it is his kingdom come and his will be done in Bundaberg on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Can we see that? Can we picture that? Can we even believe for that? That we could see Bundaberg turned upside down. Do we dare to have the faith to believe that Bundaberg could be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. God is just looking for his people to get back to normal. So let's reclaim normal in the kingdom of God. Who's with me? Oh, I've got a quarter of you. We started 2 weeks ago with the verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, in the last days, there'll be these people and this people and this people have a form of godliness but denies power. That's where I want to take on or continue on today. We don't want to just have an outward form of godliness where we sing the songs and we pray the right prayer, you know, but we want to know the power that transforms our lives. Is there an amen to that? The things that you're struggling with, the things that you're battling with, the things that you thought will never shift and will never change in your life, even the generational things, Jesus can fix it all. Thanks, Sue. Got some of our leaders at the moment reading a book, How to Stop the Pain. It's an amazing book. I think we probably should buy a few more copies about what the Spirit of God, what Jesus has done and what he does to cut off generational things, to cut off the sources of pain and how to deal with things in your life so that the enemy doesn't take root in any area of your life. Jesus has done it all. You know, we have to learn to live from where we actually positioned in Christ. We're not walking around on this earth like bush turkeys, scratching around underneath the warfare that's going around us. No, no, if we've been born again, we're up on eagle's wings. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's how we pray. That's how we worship. That's how we speak from heaven to earth. So can we align ourselves with the Word of God? Or? More. It's a journey. Man, if we could just go like that and we could just, that'd be awesome. But it is a journey. But I was thinking during the week as I was praying about this verse that came to me, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. For his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil. Oh, hang on a minute. There's a verse to meditate on for a while. There's a good piece of, I was going to say rump steak, but we could probably go better than that. Scotch fillet. Porterhouse. We could chew on it for a bit and let it just, His divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. His plan for you was to not just give your life to Him and stay in struggle street mentally, emotionally, spiritually, but to share in through the precious promises, to share in His divine nature. Those were the people that turned the world upside down. The word was getting out. There's these crazy men who follow the way, follow this man named Jesus. And they've turned, everywhere they go, they turn the world upside down. And they've come here also. This just doesn't happen through a series of meetings or a series of events. This happens through someone that says, I have had enough of going around in circles. I have had enough trying to live out of my own resources, and I want to follow Jesus with everything that I've got. God, fill me, heal me, I yield to You. I align myself with Your word. Have Your way in me. We have to stop trying to live out of our own resources. And we have to learn to live out of the resources of heaven. Is there an amen? Because that's what we do often. We try and work through things in our own strength. We try and work things out. I was talking to someone during the week who was going through something. And they were just trying to work it out. And I said, what about if you pray and say, God, what do You want? You see, we often just try and work things out and work through things in our own resources, in our own strength, in our own mind, in our own effort, rather than saying, God, have Your way. What are You saying? What are You doing? It looks very different if we live according to His Spirit rather than the flesh. Very different. You know, the Israelites had two crossings in their journey. The first crossing, Exodus chapter 14. Verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the salvation of your God. What He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to stand still. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites now to break camp. As for you, lift up your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Which sea was it? The Red Sea. The first crossing of the Israelites through the Red Sea, signifying deliverance from slavery. For them, slavery in Egypt, deliverance. You will never see Egypt again. You will never see these people again. They were being delivered and set free from slavery. And for us, as we go through the Red Sea, that is the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set free. Oh, the blood of Jesus. There is no coincidences in Scripture. Just God incidences. And the second crossing, Joshua chapter 3. This was not a sea. This was a river. This was a river. The Jordan River. In fact, at this point, it says that it was in flood. It wasn't just a little flowing river. It was a mighty rushing river. In fact, historians say that it was about 1.5 kilometers wide, flowing in flood. I remember, you know, the pictures of Bundaberg and the river flowing through and houses being swept off their stumps over the north. Such was the power of water. And this was the water that they walked through. Whoa. When the people broke camp, after they'd consecrated themselves afresh, it says in verse 14 of Joshua 3, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant of the people. God said you had to follow. They had to follow the Ark of the Covenant because they'd never been that way before. They'd never been that way before. So they're following the Ark of the Covenant. The priests were carrying it across the Jordan. And it says in verse 15, the Jordan overflowed its banks throughout the harvest season. But as soon as the priests carrying the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water at its edge, the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, 32 kilometers away. Can you imagine that sight? Stepping into a mighty rushing water, thinking, I hope this is going to work. I'm just trusting God. And they put their foot in and the water just stopped and it rose up in a mass all the way back to the town of Adam, 32 kilometers away. What a sight. How much water is that? 32 kilometers. Like, how far is that? Bagara's 15, so double. They had to go through the river. Jesus said, the one who believes in me, out of them will flow rivers of living water. The promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ. He has given you of his spirit. You are sealed, guaranteeing what is to come. Just go through the water. Go through the river. It's time to live by the Spirit of God and walk into the promises of God rather than just try to live out of our own strength, doing our own thing, trying to make our way. Somewhere I think we get caught, believers right across the nation, we get caught in the middle of the two crossings. If you can picture that with me. We've gone through the Red Sea because we believe in Jesus and we know what Jesus has done for us. We've just broken bread and we've just drank of the cup together. We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But Jesus' sacrifice was a once and for all sacrifice for us and for all who would call upon his name, a once and for all sacrifice. It is finished. Done. Then I think we can get lost in the wilderness. We just wander around a little bit. Because we don't take hold of the promises that are yes and amen in Christ. We believe other lies. We believe other things that have been said rather than we taking hold of the precious promises that are ours in Christ. We believe what Jesus has done for us. We've been delivered from slavery to sin or the eternal punishment for sin. But we're not walking out the victory that is ours in Christ. Because he rose again. He defeated death. Defeated. Done. Even though we die, we live. Is there an amen? Because we're spirit. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For every one of his promises, every one of God's promises is yes in him. Therefore, through him, we also say amen to the glory of God. Every one of God's promises are yes in Christ. And there is a amen. Every one of God's promises is yes in Christ. And we say amen. In verse 22, he says, he has put his seal. Actually, I should read verse 21. It is God who strengthens us together with you in Christ, who has anointed us. He has put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment guaranteeing what is to come. There are so many believers that even struggle with the fact, am I saved? Because some have come out from under the yoke of slavery to religion, not understanding the grace of God, not understanding the new covenant, not understanding that he is the keeper of the covenant. And we just yield. And I think we have to learn to yield more. Because we live out of this life in our own strength, rather than taking hold of the promises that are yes and amen in Christ. Just think about some of the other verses. We could be here all day if you want. I got one giggle and two smiles. That's good. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin, or a sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ. Acts 17, verse 28. For in him, that is Christ, we live and move and have our being. Wow. I don't know about you, but as I've been reading scripture, I've been saying, Lord, I want to walk as Jesus walked. I want to walk as Jesus walked. Because Jesus said, I only did that which I see the Father doing. He saw the Father. He saw his Father at work in a situation. And he joined him. He saw the Father on Zacchaeus up the sycamore fig tree. He saw him up there. And he said, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house tonight. And everyone's going, what? Why is Jesus going to a sinner's house? Because he saw the Father at work in his life. And he went to his house, and you know the story. Well, most of you would know the story. There was salvation at the house of Zacchaeus. And God was doing such a work in his life that he started to pay back everything he owed and more. All who came to Jesus were healed. Jesus did what he saw the Father doing. He just joined him. Will that be our prayer? To not live according to the flesh, to not live according to our own strength and in our own effort, but to live according to the Spirit. Is there an amen to that? We could open the book of Ephesians this morning. Here's just a couple of verses. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You are blessed beyond measure. Well, the fact is, we just need eyes to see it. Verse 7, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Verse 11, in Him, in Christ, we have received an inheritance. Verse 13, in Him, in Christ, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed. We could keep going. We could keep going. We could keep going. In Him, in Christ, all of His precious promises are yes and amen in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love that He had for us. I'm going to switch microphones because I'm popping away. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you have been saved by grace. Is anyone excited about that? We didn't deserve it. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. But the Father saw us in our need, and He sent His Son, who became a sin offering for us, that we would become the righteousness of God in Christ. And more. He gave us a new heart, and He put His Spirit within us because He knew that we couldn't follow Him in our own strength and in our own effort, even if we desired to. He gave us His Spirit. He has raised us up, it says in verse 6, with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places. You have been raised up with Christ and you are seated with Him in heavenly places. Is there an amen? We should start to get excited about these things. So that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting, Paul, as he was writing to the church in Ephesus, he said in chapter 1, he said, I pray, this was his prayer. He said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you would know Him. God, grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would know You, God. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to His work in us. Everything's been done. It's all been done. Signed, sealed, delivered. Sometimes I think, and I've used this reference before, it's like we have this presence under a tree and it has our name on it, but we actually haven't gone to them and we actually haven't collected them, even though it's got our name on it. And I think sometimes we can be like that in our walk with Christ, that we can believe the lies that have been spoken over us. We can believe what the world says about us, but we don't come to the word that's got our name on it and says, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's how Jesus lived His life. He lived His life from the declaration, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I don't know if we get that. Do we get that? We pray that we would have wisdom and revelation to know He hadn't turned the water into wine yet. He hadn't performed any miracles yet. He hadn't done anything like that yet. And yet the Father said over him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So when the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, prove it." Nah, not playing those games. Don't get into games with the devil. Just, "I am the Son of God," Jesus said. Well, I quite like that, but he just was. He knew and he was. And God wants us to know that we are and we are his. And that we can begin to stand upon the word of God. And rather from living from earth, looking to heaven, saying, "God, please help me," that we would learn to live from heaven to earth. And we'd start to use the word of God like sword of the Spirit. We'd start to wield it and we'd start to come into alignment with it. You're very quiet on me today. I was kind of thinking there might be an eruption of joy right about now. Oh. 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 You are loved. You are so loved. And nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ. Even on your worst day, you are so loved. I love that Jehovah Jireh song. Jireh, I think it's just called Jireh. Not the old Jehovah Jireh song. You know, Jehovah Jireh. And yeah, not that one. The Jireh song, it says, "I've never been more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down." You have never been more loved than you are right now. Oh. Imagine if we walked around in the full revelation of that every day, every moment, regardless of circumstances. You are loved. You are accepted. You are secure. That is who you are. He is calling us into deeper waters. He is calling us into places that we've never experienced before. He's calling us back to normal. To not just do church, to gather in meetings here and there, and to go back and live our life as if nothing really happens. But he's calling us into the deeper waters of his Spirit, where we let go and where we let God, where we dare to believe that what we read in Scripture that we too can do today. Amongst us here, we have teachers, we have prophetic people, we have evangelists, we have pastors, we have people who can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We have people who can cast out demons. We have people that are full of mercy and love and compassion. We could keep going. That's you. That's you. God, that we would return back to normal. Take us through the river, Lord. Not just to the river. Oh, that's a nice river, isn't it? Wow, the river looks nice. There's people in the river. It's almost like they're having fun. Jump in the river. Walk through it. Receive it, the promise that rivers of living water will flow through you, and enter into the promises that are yes and amen in Christ. It is done. It is finished. I want to encourage you to get into this and repent where you need to repent for believing lies about yourself. And say, God, align me with your word. And when you face a circumstance, speak to it. Jesus did. He spoke to the storm and he said, peace, be still. There is a whole new way of living for us as believers, born again into the kingdom. My prayer as we continue on into this year is that we wouldn't just hear something, but we begin to hear it. We'd hear it in such a way that the Spirit of God breathes upon it and it begins to stir in our hearts and lives. And we say, no, I actually want to walk in that. Started last Sunday night when Bruce spoke about healing and people came and said, I want to be a part of that. There are so many promises. Things that God has for each and every one of us. This word says that everyone can prophesy. Maybe you need to speak over yourself. I can prophesy. I think I heard two people. There is a feast at the table. I'm just being reminded of the great banquet. Because I think this is where it's at. And I'm speaking to the church in our nation, even though there's only a very small percentage of us here compared to the Christians that's in our nation. But I believe this is where it's at. The table has been set. It is a massive banquet. And the word is going out, come, for everything is ready. Oh. But some began to make excuses. I can't come. I just bought a field and I have to go and see it. Others said, I just bought some oxen and I need to go try them out. I mean, who would buy a car without trying it out? Who would buy a field without seeing it? Although I think it did happen during COVID. When people moved geographically when they wanted to get out of some place called Victoria. Sorry, that wasn't politically correct, was it? Oh, well. But it happened a lot. And then one said, this excuse is half good. I just got married, so I can't come. We can make excuses. Let's get real for a minute as the music team comes. Let's get real. Sometimes it's possessions. It's the desire for more stuff that gets in the way of us saying, yes, Jesus. Sometimes it's our work. It's that side of life. It's business. When I'm feeling like, hang on a minute, I really just need to speak with Claude. Oh, but I can't because I'm in the workplace. Sometimes it's relationships. I just got married, so I can't come. Well, bring your spouse with you. Come together. Our kids grew up in prayer meetings. They grew up in Bible studies. They grew up in believers hanging out together, and they were just on the floor, and sometimes they'd fall asleep. Sometimes they'd be coloring in. And you know what? It hasn't hurt them at all. We can make all different kinds of excuses because of all different reasons. And I'm not saying, and please don't mishear me, I'm not saying that we should fill our lives and get so busy. No, I'm not saying that. But what is the yes for you in Christ? What is the Lord speaking to you about? Is it sharing your faith? Is it praying for people? Is it getting out, sharing the gospel? Is it loving and caring for others? Is it that, yes, I know I've got a gift of prophecy, but I'm not putting it to use? What is God saying to you as we start 2024? And He's just looking for your yes. That's what He's looking for. Yes. Not excuses. But the yes. God, return us back to normal. That we wouldn't just read Scripture and go, wow, look at what happened in the book of Acts. Wow, what about that in Corinth? What about that in Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica? Wow. God, return us back to normal. Let a wave of repentance come through your church in this nation. That times of refreshing would come from your presence. Jesus, we acknowledge in your word that it says that apart from you, we are nothing and can do nothing. But Lord, we thank you that we have everything we need for life and godliness in you. It is written, He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Lord, lead us back to normal Christianity. Help us to let go of anything that hinders and any sin that entangles, the way we can run the race with our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us not to see circumstances from earth's perspective, but help us to see them from heaven's perspective. Lord, we yield to you afresh. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Ooh.